hello and welcome again to Keeping the Ball on the Ground, the Open Goal podcast with our friends at William Hill. I knew you'd be back after last week with an absolute belter with James McPake, and our special guest today has got a lot to live up to, but I'm sure he's going to fill it in just the way he used to rattle in the goals. He's going to rattle us this afternoon. His name
is... He's not rattling me, I'll tell you that.
Tony Watt. Tony is with his former Celtic striker, Charlton striker, Lear striker, Hart striker.
Probably better stop him there, ain't you?
Stop there and out, I'm hoping to
you. Thanks again for saying used to that.
He'll be coming back, don't worry about that. He's looking, by the way, Simon Berry's with him as well. How good is Tony looking just now, Simon?
He is, mate. I'm poking him all right, that's the way he's looking now.
I'm looking all right.
You're looking great, mate.
He is, he's looking the part, he's looking lean, he's looking mean. He's a goal scoring machine.
Aberdeen fans get excited.
How's it been? How have you been, Tony? You're up at Aberdeen, you've been in there for a few weeks training. Derek McInnes has allowed you the facilities up there, and as we're saying, all kidding aside, you're looking good.
No, he's been brilliant. Obviously, it's been difficult because they've had a couple of midweek games, so if they're only training once at the start of the week, it's been hard. So I've needed to keep myself fit by going to gyms and going out running, but I've been in training there. He's opened the doors for me, and he's been brilliant. Let me come in and train. It's been difficult because of the two club rule. I can only sign certain countries now, and it's not really... I don't really want to jump into anything stupid. So he's opened the doors, let me train, and I'm very thankful to him for that.
We'll get on to you at the end of the show. We've got a busy programme this afternoon, but just quickly on that club rule. So is it June the 1st or July the 1st? When can you sign for...
Well, I can sign anywhere, but until the new season kicks in, I can't play a game.
Right, so probably July.
Probably 1st of July or end of June, 1st of July, I think. But I think when the new season kicks in, then I'm free to sign.
Good stuff. We'll get on to that later on the programme this afternoon with our own Simon Ferry and our special guest Tony. I'm Mark Goody, and we will be speaking about the Scotland games. We'll take a look back on the double header, the defeat to Costa Rica and the victory over Hungary. We'll also look at the situation with Arsene Wenger at Arsenal and the age discrimination comments that Arsene Wenger has made in terms he feels he's a victim, and that's what people are wanting to drive him out of his job at Arsenal. We'll look at celebrations. Do they annoy you? Do they get you going? Do they make you happy? Or do they make you cringe? We'll look at some of the celebrations that go on in football nowadays, and we'll speak to Simon and Tony in terms of any that they've been through during their career. And finally, the World Cup 2018 in Russia this summer. The Panini sticker album has been released, and Scott is looking ahead to the biggest tournament in world football. So we'll have a wee look back at Tony and Simon's memories of the World Cup and what they expect this summer. And I'll have a wee bit of nostalgia as well, looking back to when I was there in 1998. Wow. Probably hardly even born. And I was there watching or following Scotland for the newspapers. But we'll get back to the top of the programme. Scotland, on a positive note, Simon, the victory against the defeat against Costa Rica, it was doom and gloom, but people are a bit happier now after the performance and the result against Hungary.
I seen bits of the Costa Rica game. I thought it was quite poor, to be honest, especially the first half. Second half was a bit better, but last night, great result. I think it was much better with McGinn, Armstrong and McGregor in the middle of the park. What we were speaking about last week as well, I mean, these guys down south are getting quoted for £30 million. Tom Kearney, for me, John McGinn, McGregor and Armstrong look a better player than him. More legs, more comfortable on the ball and the surroundings. And I thought last night was really good. I thought Matt Phillips done well up front as well, upon his own big, strong boy. Much better than McBurney. So there's definitely a positive side. I think we're the strongest 11 out on the pitch. I think we've got a decent squad, a decent team. Sorry.
And were you happy as well, just on a personal level, for Alec McLeish, because he was taking a bit of stick in the aftermath of Friday night?
I couldn't believe the stick he was getting. For the first friendly in the team he played, he was obviously wanting to see new players playing in that environment. And the thing they get, it's always the manager now. You know, well, these guys have got a chance to go and play for Scotland and maybe cement themselves in a squad or a team for a big tournament coming up. I think the criticism should have went for the players, because it seemed to me that some of the players were not that bothered if they played well or no. I've seen quite a lot of boys jogging about. That's not the manager's fault. Manager, quite rightly, I think, giving these boys a chance. It's up to them to go and take it. And then you see the guys who have been there and done it, and they're running a bit daft for them. So as a manager, you're only as good as your players. And I think the second performance shows that the main players are well behind them.
Tony, you're a Scotland player. You were just in the squad 18 months ago under Gordon Strachan. Hopefully you'll get back in again in time. What was your take on the overall performances in the two games?
Watching the two of them, I thought Friday night, I thought there was some positive to take. I thought, what he's saying, obviously, the players, I think it was difficult, you see, about Tom Kearney and that. I've watched him play a few times and I think he's more advanced role. I think it was hard for him. It was a different role for him. I think Big Boy McDonald done all right. He's a good player. I've seen him play as well. And I don't think he could mix the team up much. I saw everybody saying that there's games on Friday night for the Championship team. So I think he probably got the Championship boys in on Friday and then the Scottish boys, closer to home boys, and last night, and last night was a better performance. I think there was a lot of positives to take out last night as well, and I think it was more of an addition for most of them, these two. These first games, friendlies, not really meaning much, no qualifiers anytime soon. So probably, I don't know, probably a lot of positives to take, but obviously nobody's really in the first game, as you said, cemented their sale into the manager's 11, maybe Big Boy McKenna and some of the old guard. But
well, let's touch on McKenna, because obviously Aberdeen player, for years and years we've been crying out for a centre-half and to find a partnership. McKenna appears to be to one that could well emerge as a serious contender. As you mentioned, you've been in at Aberdeen for a few weeks, obviously you've worked with him in sessions. Just how good is he, Tony?
Well, I've seen him obviously in training, but I went to the last three games, the one against Kilmarnock away and the one at Partick Thistle away, and I saw him and he was a standout both games, to be fair. He's like a proper old school defender, no nonsense.
He's a meathead, isn't he? He's a meathead, man.
Is he bollock a good bit of pace though?
He's got a good bit of pace. Yeah. He can play as well, but he's not scared to put it in the channel if he's under pressure, and he doesn't look as if he's got many mistakes in him, and that's kind of what you need. Give your goalkeeper and your midfielder's confidence if somebody in between the two is like that. So he could be a figure on the team for a few years.
I think it'll be a good blend of him and Mulgrew, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Charlie can play it for the
guide
back and guide him through, and obviously we're going to go on to that. Charlie's going to be was the captain, but I think he'd be a great guy to have McKenna to have Charlie next to him.
On that then, we'll get to the strike situation at the end when we finish this section off, but just on Charlie Mulgrew, he got the nod as the captain for Friday and for Tuesday. Is that something you think that's going to become permanent, or do you think Alec will still be looking at Andy Robertson's Kieran Tierney's as well?
I would be happy to go with Charlie. Big Rico Suave, he's calm as you get, do you know what I mean? He's always flicking that hair behind his ears, mate, isn't he? Every time he does something good, he flicks the...
Are we having the ponytail?
No, you kidding? No, Charlie.
He's having himself...
He's fake Kirk and Tillich, man.
He's having himself with a ponytail, and I agree with you, Si. I think, what's the point in putting Robertson and Tierney up against each other, because one of them's going to be disappointed if the other one gets the band, and Charlie's won the most, probably him or Jamesy have won the most silverware, but Charlie's more of a leader than Jamesy, and I think you go with your old guard. I think you go with your winners and the people that can win stuff and guide you through, and I think he should probably get the nod as a captain.
You guys have been in dressing rooms with him. Is Charlie captain material?
See, with that young squad, I think he's a great guy to have because he's so composed and he's calm. See, the days I captain balling and shouting, I think they're gone. I mean, we've got, obviously it's only League 2, but I was a captain last year and I was hopeless at it. So I ran about screaming at everyone and the boys hated it. And see, now we've got Big Cracks who is the most calm.
He
had a good career. He's calm. He doesn't ball and shout. Speaks here and there. And the younger boys much prefer it. They respond to it.
I choose a captain.
Oh, they hated me.
Who's the best captain you've played under, Tony?
You've put me in the spot there.
That's what you're here for.
Obviously, looking at it now, I wasn't a figure in the Celtic team. I wasn't in every week. But looking at the job Brown's done, he's probably, out of a lot of them, he's probably the biggest leader you'll see. And he's not really a baller and shouter. He's more of a talker and gets you through. And he's probably the one looking back.
A good influence on you.
I'd probably say him, aye.
And for you, Simon, during your career?
Tomo was good at Dundee. He wasn't a ranter or
Kevin
a raver.
Thompson. But, just
Kevin Thompson.
In case the listeners only pick up music. Yeah,
I think he was used to it.
Just because you knew that he'd been in big games, uh-huh, and he'd been there and done it, and he'd played with good players, and he was always trying to help you, Tomo, and I loved that. You know, the guy at 32, 31, 32, he could have just been selfish and concentrating on himself, but he was really keen on helping all the younger boys develop their game, not just shouting at them when they'd done something wrong.
being constructive.
Taking them aside and tell them you think you can improve on this, improve on that. And I think big Charlie will be the same with that young Scotland team.
Okay, before we finish this section, we'll speak about the number nine situation. Obviously, Lee Griffiths would be the number one striker at the moment. Ollie McBurney got a chance. Matt Phillips got his chance in the number nine role. It's obvious that Alec McLeish is looking for somebody to go and challenge Lee Griffiths, or maybe he could be looking for a striker if Lee Griffiths is injured or suspended. Present company accepted. Simon, who is the genuine contender for a number nine jersey to Lee Griffiths?
We're struggling. If Griffiths isn't a fit, it's a big worry. We need to get him playing. I think with the midfield and the wide men we've got, Alec Fraser at Bournemouth, I think he's a great player. I'm surprised he's not played more. I see him playing for Bournemouth and he creates a lot of their chances and creates a lot of their goals. I think him on the wide area with Jamesy as well. Griffiths will score a bucket load. But I don't mind Phillips. I think Phillips is better up front on his own. Mm-hmm. And you can just let him go and run about like a stolen motor. But I think if you're asking him to go and link up with somebody, it's not his greatest attribute.
I don't know what he's had for breakfast this morning, but I agree with him. I think, I don't know what's happened with Fletcher on that, but I think Fletcher was good for the last campaign because he's
Jordan Rhodes, when you think those guys are just filming the way these moments.
But it's difficult because Scotland are always going to play one up front, just the way it's going now. We're not going to dominate games and you need to be a specific type to be playing one up front, and I think Fletcher suited that role last year because he can hold it up. He's not bad in the air and his first touch is very good, do you know what I mean? And he scores goals, do you know what I mean? Griffiths is probably Scotland's best striker now when he's on form, but if he gets injured, then where do you look and where do you go?
I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, however, you are here with us this afternoon, so why not? The competitive games don't start until September, they'll be in Israel, so a lot can happen in 5 months. You must, and I know you'll prioritise getting into your club and then try to get into a rhythm, but you must think that there's a chance here if you can get yourself going, there's an opportunity there to get back into Scotland's squad.
Well, obviously the door's never going to be closed. You believe in yourself, and this season was probably the year I thought I'd go back, get playing games, because I've missed out on them the last year and a half, and I thought I'd get games and maybe eventually score goals and then start knocking on the door. But I think September's maybe a bit too soon. I think I need to be in playing and prove myself again. That's the main thing, and probably do it quietly and try and get as many goals. But there is an opening there. There's nobody's Scotland's number nine. Nobody's really got that jersey. So there's an opening there, but probably not in the next 6 months. I'd probably be looking more in the next season, start of the season after.
Okay, well, we'll see. Sometimes it only takes 3 or 4 games. You bang them in, and mm-hmm. you get a call up.
That's what happened to the boy McBurney. He only went to Barnsley 3 months ago, wasn't it? And scored some goals and got in.
So what do you think, Tony, back in the squad before the end of the year?
Get him back in. Get him back in.
I'll get him
back in.
Get a good laugh. Get a squad going.
It's tight to be serious. True,
actually. Don't listen to that if you're out there, Alec McLeish.
By the way, he always listens. Right, age discrimination. Arsene Wenger. He's claiming he's a victim of age discrimination. That's why he's been criticised a lot. You know, he's been quite outspoken over it. He's under a bit of pressure. People saying that his time has finally got to end. Do you think there's any truth at all in what he's saying about age discrimination?
My ears are a victim of his rubbish. What is he talking about? You're 6th, 7th in the league with Arsenal. That's why you're getting criticised. If you're top of the league, nobody would care what age you were. And for the fact he's just signed that mad midfielder on a 5-year deal. Did you see that yesterday? He doesn't even play.
Shaka and El Nene is your middle two.
Doesn't even play. He signed him on a 5-year deal.
That's what happens down there. No
wonder we're questioning your age when you're doing stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? But no. There's no way. I mean, who do you think he is? Is it Arlene Phillips that was saying that about Strictly? I just can't believe he's saying this about his age when he's sitting 6th in the league. Remember Arlene? Did she not get booted off Strictly? And she said it was because he was too old.
Did she get replaced with somebody older?
Oh, right. Oh, did she?
Actually, never.
What's that boy's name? Len Goodman or whatever his name is?
Len chopped it. He took it off.
But no, I think he's talking rubbish. Absolute rubbish.
I think you need to get with the times now, don't you? I think you need to... new things get added and, like you say, you need a support base around you. And I think he's just trying to bat it off. I think he does what Mourinho does and tries to pinpoint everyone else that's going wrong so that his performances aren't really
deflecting
under scrutiny. And I think that's just maybe something he said and he'll look back and probably regret it. I don't think he really mean, if he thought about it, I don't think he'd really mean it.
But I mean, I always think a guy like Wenger and other managers, he gets the criticism, oh, you should see Arsenal 7th, they're not doing this. Dealing with the transfer market, no great, etc, etc. But the bottom line is, it's the board. You know, he's not going to sack himself. He's not going to walk away. So, you know, the power is within the board, and they have been too, surely they've been, with all respect to him, but they've been far too loyal to him.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the team that they had with Henry and Bergkamp to what they've got now is laughable. I mean, every other club's got better over the last 10 years, but Arsenal have just been in freefall. I think you had a great point, Mark, about Ferguson. He was an older guy, but what was it you said? He always changed his assistants.
He would rotate his staff to make sure his staff moved the time. And he would adapt as well, but he made sure the guys around him that were current and knew what to go on, and he would just kind of still be the elder statesman, you know, and just delegate.
Whereas Wenger's just stuck with Bold for, he's been there for years. And even Guardiola, you see, he's got Arteta, who's relevant, but he's still kept Brian Kidd, who, for the old school thoughts, and, you know, he's done it properly.
He's done it right. And what you're saying about Arsenal, I saw something about the guy wouldn't sell under any circumstance, but Wenger's making him a fortune. Wenger's not really buying the same that other people are buying. He's maybe buying a few players, but he's not spent the same as all teams have spent, and he's, I don't know what it is. I just think they must love what he does for the club, but down there they're guaranteed to make money, aren't they? They're guaranteed to make lots of profits, and he's making it even more. So I think the next manager that comes in will have a free hit at it, because they know he's doing terrible, but he's living off his past.
In terms of just a generalisation with managers, you guys have played for rookie bosses, if you want to call them. You've played for senior managers who've been round the block. Do you think now that the current game, the modern game, that it is more difficult for, and I wouldn't label them as old, but let's say you're over 53s, you're over 54s, is it more difficult for them now with all the demands?
I thought life was easier under an older manager. I don't think the work, maybe people disagree, but I don't think older managers work as hard as young managers. Obviously, because they've had their career. Young managers come in, they're desperate to do well. Morning sessions, afternoon sessions, whereas older managers who've had their career, I found life easier as a player under an older manager.
Did they not even delegate then, the ones you're talking about, they might not be hands-on?
They wouldn't take, all the older managers I've had, they wouldn't take training. Their assistant manager would take training, they would stand at the side.
That's fair enough though, don't
they? But then you would train in the morning and then you'd go home. Whereas a younger manager wants involved in everything. Leaves no detail on, what is it called?
No stone unturned.
There you go, Mark, thanks for that.
But if you're having a wee pop there in terms of the older managers not having you in for afternoons or whatever, but then that surely there's an onus on the player as an individual to go and put a bit of graft in the afternoon.
I'm just saying I found life easier under an older manager than I did with a younger manager. A younger manager's got you in a training ground more.
So who was DeCanio, the most demanded?
DeCanio. Double sessions, missed days in every day. He would take everything from the warm up to the training to the cool down to the gym session. He would take everything.
I think it's easier to fail at that though. I think sometimes the boys think it's too much, and I think older managers can get with the times, as we were saying, and do it. But it's like nowadays, some of the exercises you do with the sports scientists or fitness coaches and that, it's just to tick boxes. And some of the old guard know that, some of the older boys know that and think it's a waste of time, and some of it is. You're doing pre-activation an hour before training and it's not helping you a bit, it's making you stiffer, and then you're going out doing a meeting, then going out and doing a warm-up. These younger managers add that in, and they say it's supposed to help you. It doesn't. Everybody's different, people need different stuff for their bodies, and maybe the older managers I've worked under have been like that. What's the point in that? These guys do what we want them to do, but maybe a younger manager gets sold on the idea for the sports scientists, the fitness coaches, and then go along with it when it's never really been a massive part. I know it's coming into the game, but some of it's good and some of it's just, as you say, to do extra sessions and tick the boxes.
But they say now that younger managers, you'll only get a job now if you can do a good PowerPoint presentation to a board of directors. Laptop manager is a phrase that we've heard in Scottish football the past couple of years. You've played under Ian Castle, who was able to
He's been on the laptop.
Throw me under the bus then, talking about laptop manager.
But it's true though, you talk about older managers say, well, look, as you say, my CV speaks for itself. I don't need to give you a PowerPoint presentation. It's when you're only a pitch and winning games and preparing a team, so you can understand that there's obviously pros and cons. And a young guy, you're 40 odds one, and your guy who's been running the block at 55, 60.
I think the older ones are you can I filmed you could speak to them then as well than the younger managers. I don't think they're big on relationships with players. They're very much training, tactics, meetings. Whereas I had two older managers, Danny Wilson and Kevin McDonald at Swindon, two of the best guys I've ever met, and sit you down. Kevin McDonald played for Liverpool.
Yeah.
I remember sitting in the physio room, there's a shock, with him for about 2 hours, and he was just talking to us about Graeme Souness. And but see, with the Canio, you wanted all your stories, but he wouldn't. He didn't have time to sit down and tell you stories for 2 hours.
They're very clinical, because when you're in this business, there's no time to waste.
No, I've no time to sit and tell you stories.
He gives away for the bullet constantly.
He'd be out watching reserve teams and watching the opposition, whereas old Kev used to all sit and have a coffee and have a chat. I loved it as a player, you know, but the younger man, that would not happen.
Have you heard that?
I find the older managers go to talk to, and if they asked you something, they'd probably listen more, but the younger manager would probably look through you, if you get me. Like, you'd listen to you a bit, you know, when you're like walking out, he's not took any and he's got his own way. And like,
who was good? I mean, who did you enjoy, or who did you feel that was open to you?
I had a boy guy who was on at Charlton, and he had his certain way, and it got to a stage, it wasn't good for me because of the way he played. It kind of one two touch, and eventually he said, look, do half of my stuff, and then the other half you can do yourself. And it was the best football I played. He was brilliant. He was open. Kind of same with Lambert was like, none of this, none of that, just go out and do it. Do you know what I mean? Kinda, yeah. I mean, he's maybe not an older manager. I know he's been there for a few years, but they learn for the older managers. They come in and they learn for that older, like the Martin O'Neill type. They've based themselves on Martin O'Neill, and they kind of talk to you, and it's not serving your dream. They just tell you what's to be done and that's it. But the younger managers, where you'd probably find try and sell you, do you know what I mean? Try and convince them sell while convincing you, and you can see through it straight away. Players see through it, and that's why some maybe struggle a bit.
You're obviously your current manager, you're working under Derek McInnes just now, 5 years at Aberdeen, anniversary linked to several jobs over the past couple of years. Is he the real deal, Tony?
He is. Without that, that's not me in a job interview trying to get a cover of that. He's been talking about for days. No, I went for, as I said, more like shaping and doing stuff and standing about. Up there it's not. Up there it's high intensity. You do your work, but he gets his point across. But there's no standing about just listening to him selling a dream. It's proper training. You're tired after it. You're doing your stuff. And that's it. I'm not signed there, but he's told me how it is. He's been brilliant, and he's opened the door for me, and you're getting hard work out of it, and I'm feeling fit because of it. So but I don't see him as a young manager.
Boys that I've spoke to that have played with Dell, I think he's got the perfect mix between old school and the new sort of managers.
I wouldn't see him as an older manager, and I wouldn't see him as a younger. That's the weird thing about it, maybe because he's been a manager all my days of playing, but he's definitely been, I've took a step back and been like, well, I can see why Aberdeen have finished where they finished.
You'd want to play for him, eh?
Aye, exactly.
See old Kev McDonald, have you ever heard him speak? He's from Inverness. And we used to hear a laugh, man, because every team talk, he would always say the same thing, and we'd all tap each other when he was saying it. We all know you're good footballers, but it's about proving you're good footballers. And see all the Cockneys and that, mate, they couldn't, you just crack up every time. But guaranteed to say it before a game and after a game. Brilliant, no, honestly.
I didn't know Kevin McDonald was from Belfast. On to celebrations, we're on the William Hill podcast here with Open Goal, keeping the ball on the ground. I'm Matt Goody, delighted to say we're joined by our own Simon Ferry. And Tony Watt, our special guest. I know you've been enjoying it so far. We're halfway through the programme. You're going to stick with us. We've got the World Cup to look ahead to. We'll speak about that. And for now, we're going to speak about goal celebrations. Recently, we've seen Pogba, Lingard, the whole Spurs team get involved in, you know, obviously things that have been rehearsed for goal celebrations. Make you cringe a wee bit.
Definitely. Everyone knows my opinion on Pogba. I mean, that's what he's more worried about, celebrations and passing the body.
Pogba's a brand, don't
it? It's frightening, though.
It's brand Pogba.
Oh, I loved, remember, Inzaghi used to score. Wrong. He actually knew that goal was the world to him.
It's like Boydie now. Have you seen Chris Boyd
score?
You can see he just loves goals. He'd put his granny in the back of the net for a goal, that boy. And he goes mental after he scores them, didn't he?
I like to see that raw passion. Jumping in the crowd, getting the top off, getting the best suit, but all this. See that wee Son for Tottenham, mate. Did you see him after the Bournemouth game? When he was it the Bournemouth? He scored two goals. I think he had a different handshake for every player.
Yeah, but he's so buzzing when he scores. So but he's a mix of both, isn't he? He does all the celebrations, but he's just so happy when he scores.
But Pogba, I can't take him.
I know you, Tony.
I don't like it. I think Pogba and that get away with it because they're celebrities, aren't they? They're selling their brand, and it's a big part of football. They took it for like Beckham and that. They're all a brand now, aren't they? And they're all sponsored, and they need to be out there. But if I had to try and get away with it, if somebody came up and slapped me, I wouldn't say anything bad about them slapping me. Do you know what I mean? Some of it's just embarrassing, but I wouldn't say any MD for. I'd probably hammer somebody for a few days after it, but I wouldn't do it myself. Something really bad.
Have you been in dressing room, Simon, where somebody's trying to initiate it and get it going? And have you been there when the boys have bought into it and when they've just laughed the guy out?
See, when Di Canio first came in, we started doing terrible. I think lost his first four games, but Matt Ritchie was at us. And Matt is came in the dressing room, and he's like, I never believe it. We were playing on Sky the next day against Rotherham, and he's like, Gaffer's asked me if I've scored the goal, will I run him? And I was like, you can't do it. I was like, if you do it, I'll cane you, man. I'll slough you for the rest of the year. He's like, I hope I don't fucking score him, man. He's like, so Matty ends up scoring, see when he scored.
Did he score, did he?
He scored, I could just see his face, realise it. So he just turns and starts running over, the manager goes and gives a hug, he sloughed
him. I think you have to, but if a manager's asked you, because nowadays, that's a droppable offence for you, man.
I know, but oh, poor wee Matty, man. Desperate not to score a goal.
So did you slaughter him?
Oh, he got slaughtered, the head. But the canny was brilliant. See, when we scored the goal, I remember we played Northampton away. We ended at 10 men, 1-1. I think we had to win to get in the automatic places, and we scored in the last minute. All the boys are running over, next thing you just see this madman heading down the touchline on the boys, and I was directly across from him, and he was like looking in my eyes, and I thought, this geezer's going to stick a nut on me here, man. But I love that. See, like that, a manager running down with the boys, I think that's brilliant, just raw passion rather than this rehearsed stuff. But funny guy.
What about Tony, have you been in dress rooms where it's worked or it's not worked?
No, I think when you're young in the youth team and that, I think there's been a few times there's zero people in the stand and you're doing a celebration as if you're in front of 60,000, you know what I mean? I think all he's doing it, and do you know what I mean? Thank God there's no videos of your young games, because you've probably done it a few times, but I think you just go mental and kind of get in with the fans or
have
do
you
whatever.
Have you ever done a cringe celebration? You ran Ian Cathro, did you know?
I've never scored it. Never scored it. Hearts to run it anywhere.
Ian Cathro was running after him.
Try to put the ball in for me.
What was your second? Just I know. God, I was saying to myself, don't ask.
Don't mention it.
But what was your sale against Barcelona? I can't even remember. What was your sale against Barcelona?
I just ran and I thought, just knee slide, and then when I got up, I was like, I kissed the badge, and just, I don't know, it was just.
But it was off the cuff.
I didn't expect to score, you know what I mean? But any celebration for me is off the cuff, do you know what I mean? Just throw
your hands
in the
air. Obviously, you were a Celtic fan, but what do you make other people that kiss the badge? Your teams have been it for 2 minutes, now you've done a piss in the place and they're kissing the
badge. I think, see, if you're not a fan of the club, but you've built a club and they've been good to you, I think kiss the badge all you want, do you know what I mean? But see, like, people have played with Celtic and then kiss the badge and then play with Rangers and kiss the badge, and I think you should get automatic retirement, do you know what I mean? I strike out.
It's terrible, isn't
it? Oh, it is. Okay, we'll move on. Final part of the programme. We're going to look ahead to the World Cup. It's not long. It's only, what I think, it's about 77, 78 sleeps to go. Not that I'm counting. But the old Panini sticker album is out, and that's when it starts kind of whetting the appetite. You see the friendlies here that have just been on the past few days. For you, Tony, what's your earliest memories of watching the World Cup, whether it was on the TV or maybe a qualification campaign with Scotland, watching Scotland or whatever?
I remember the 2002, was it, when Zidane, was it him and France went out early against Senegal and that?
Yes, Japan, that was Japan and Korea 2002.
I remember he hit the bar in one of the games and I was just so hyped to watch him, and I think that's the same one Big Ronaldo took over, didn't he, and scored two in the final. Was that the same final against Germany?
Brazil v Germany, it was.
Think
Oliver Kahn was a German.
That was probably my first real memory. I'd have been about 9 or something, 8 or 9, and I was just hoping to see Zidane. I'd played with him in is it, this is football and all that, games, and I just thought, Zidane, yeah, you think you got a demo and you could go him in his own and that, and he looked good in glimpses, but he never really done it, and I was a wee bit disappointed. And then I watched the big man take over in the final, big man just bullied it, and I've always wound people up on Twitter and said I wasn't a big fan of Ronaldo and he was overrated and that, but you look back at his goals and the way he moves and that, he's on another planet. And
so I think just on that then, you have no memories, no recollection of France 98, the last time Scotland were at a major team?
No, I'd have been about 4 or 5 and
so not a thing.
Been running into walls and that, sounds so stupid now, do you know what I mean?
Barely remember.
I was out in the street playing when Tom Boyd made an asset. No, but it was brilliant, wasn't it? T3 in Scotland in the World Cup.
Opening game.
Brilliant. We had everyone out at the house. Had a barbecue and then watched the game. It was brilliant.
A
man.
Barbecue?
Was it raining?
Very fancy.
Barbecue.
Where are you?
Barbecue
in Dundee.
The backs.
We'd have been at the bar.
All my dad's mates and that came up. All the kids. It was brilliant. I loved it. Desperate for them to get. But I would go if they got to one now. I would definitely go and support them.
I'd go and support them.
If they'd made it to Russia this summer, would you have gone? No, you wouldn't go to Russia.
I'm not hard enough to go to Russia.
Well, the next one is Qatar. So you go to Qatar.
Oh, I'll go to Qatar.
Why?
Aye. All day.
Get speedos in that.
Well, you'd be Qatar straight away.
If Scotland get there, I'll be there.
Couple of cocktails.
Well, because we'll obviously get a lot of Scotland chat to speak about in terms of World Cups because of the ages are you guys, but just in general then, Tony's mentioned Ronaldo 2002, what other ones stick out for you?
Did McCoy's not score a belt? Was it Switzerland in that World Cup?
That was Euro 96.
Oh, was that Euro
96? I was there, Villa Park. Covered Euro 96.
So Scotland were 96 and 98 qualified for both?
If you want to go right back from 78, so they qualified for that, Germany 74, Argentina 78, Spain 82, Mexico 86, Italia 90, so that was 5 in a row. Then right. The Euros, we got a Euro 92 in Sweden, Euro 96, that was my first major tournament as a journalist, was Euro 96, then France 98, then Scotland never qualified again, but I still went to Japan, I was over in Japan for 2002, wow. Portugal 2004, Germany 2006, Switzerland and Austria 2008, that was my last one, so some good memories, but it's quite sad as well when you actually don't see Scotland there and everything that they've missed out on. And you talk about some of the guys that's guested on Open Goal with you, James McFadden, Barry Ferguson, all these guys that good players, and they've not been near a World Cup or a major tournament. It's quite sad.
It is. But my earliest memory was it Baggio that missed the penalty? Remember he blew over
USA 94.
That'd have been my earliest memory, so I'd have been 6. I loved Baggio. What a player he was.
Roberto.
Was it Taffarel the goalie?
Taffarel, that's right. Claudio Taffarel. That's right.
I was desperate for Italy, wasn't it, just for Baggio. But Brazil, since I've been young, have been the team I've always loved in the World Cups. I think they've played the best football. For the times where Mario and Ronaldo to Ronaldinho, Rivaldo.
But they just look as if they want to play for their country, as if that's the main thing out of everything. That's the thing that I buzz off them. They're probably the same. They're the ones that dominate for me. I know Spain have won it a few years. Euros and that, but the Brazilians just look as if they just buzz off.
It's funny, you guys have mentioned that for your Jerry. I can remember back to watching 82 and the exact same thing when there was a great game, Brazil v Italy. Paolo Rossi scored a hat-trick for Italy, then Brazil thumped Scotland 4-1. Dave Neary scored, but you're talking about that passion. There's great, if you ever look up the goal celebrations when Socrates and guys like that are scoring against Scotland, you see
they
the
do the right celebration. But see, even there'll be sambas and that, or whatever they do, they're all right because that's a team spirit and they're all in on it. And it's
and
not
they can
really,
get away with it.
It's not flashy. You see all the dabbing and doing the moonwalk and all that. That's nowhere near the way the Brazilians do it right for the celebrations. They could get away with it because they're passionate the way they want to do it. But
my father-in-law went to the Brazil Scotland game, the opening game John
in
Collins,
France 98.
He says he'll never forget, he's walking up to the stadium, he said all these Brazilians were doing dances and the skirts and that on, he says, and I looked over and there was three guys steaming, pissing at their kilt.
You can't speak about it tartan army like that.
The Brazilians are all right, the Scottish are much better, aren't they?
He says it was just a total contrast to nationality.
The boys were enjoying a swally.
Exactly. I know what one I'd rather be in.
Best World Cup team then, what's been your best favourite World Cup, not necessarily winners of the tournament, but your best World Cup team that you've watched in the telly?
Well, probably that Brazil team
from 2002,
just from remembering the final, just the way they done it, and last, I can't really remember much of the last World Cup, to be fair. I fancied the Brazil team again. Is that the one they get thumped off Germany?
Yeah, they were hyped up,
and then they came crashing down. But they probably would have been it if they never got thumped off Germany.
Mine's was Spain. Was it Spain?
South Africa team?
They're the first team I've seen dominate every game in a World Cup.
2010?
Like 2010, uh-huh. Yeah. That was when they first started tick-a-tack and stuff. I mean, every World Cup I've watched before that, it was always two or three you thought could win it, but see Spain for the first and second game, I thought they won it, and they dominated every game, and the football they played was outstanding.
You're right. This summer, England, what's their chances?
Get big Harry Kane fit and hope they need him, don't they? Carry him. If he doesn't go there, I know Vardy, and that's brilliant, but he's just now, he's England's probably only world class player, only one that can fight up there with Ronaldo, Messi, these types of players. I know he's not on that level, but
he's a match winner, you're right.
They talk about Dele Alli, they talk about these people. Yeah, they're very good. Sterling, very good players, but he's the only one that's, for me, he's world class, genuinely world class.
Are they potential, Simon? You look at their section, the section's been very kind to them. Are they potential? And even I heard it today, if they finish the top two of their section, they either get Japan, Poland, Colombia, or Senegal probably in the next day. So you're looking and saying, God,
they might say that every time, didn't you?
Oh, I know. Are they this time under Southgate? Do they look potential last four? Do they look like semi finalists, or are they a long way off?
I think they've looked good the last two friendlies. I watched them. Southgate, they've got a certain style now, England, whereas before I didn't think they ever had a style going into a World Cup. He seems to have got a new formation and a style of play that suits them, but I just can't see past Spain or Germany again for this year. I think they've been the two that have been the main
favourites. Right, give us a tip then. Who's going to win it?
I'll go Spain again this year.
Spain, I think,
it'll be a good price.
If Neymar's fit, Brazil.
Fancy Brazil.
If he's fit, I don't know.
Just to go back to England, goalkeeper, who's England number one?
Pickford for me.
He'll probably end up at, but well, there's not really much. Big Pope.
Pickford.
I put the big boy Pope at Charlton. He's a very good goalkeeper, but he's probably a bit too late for him now to stake a claim. I don't think he'll be the number one, but probably Pickford.
Are you tipping for the World Cup?
No. Probably Pickford. I like Butland as well. I wouldn't have Joe Hart anywhere near it.
No.
But Pickford, Butland at the moment, you could probably toss a coin.
No, but who's your tip for the World Cup?
Who's my tip for the World Cup? I don't even like to tip Simon, to be honest.
Depends if we miss his backs.
I don't actually know what.
I watched them last, they were hopeless.
I don't know, I'll need to take a look at it. I'll save that for another one.
Next week you can
review it. We'll review it again. I'll take a look at the squads. Right, now we've got Tony with us. We're just going to finish off for the last couple of minutes of Keeping the Ball on the Ground, the Open Goal podcast with our friends at William Howe. We're nearly 40 minutes on the clock. Tony, have you got a good 40 minutes in you these days?
What do you mean?
And the rest?
No, I don't even know if I've got 40 minutes in me now.
Ah, you have. As I say, but seriously, you're looking well. Are you glad that you got your contract sorted over in Belgium and it's given you this kind of 6-week period just to reflect and get really focused for the new season?
I could have easily stayed there and went on 10 minutes here, 5 minutes there when they needed me, but it wasn't right. Manager changed, wasn't in his plans, and do you know what, you could sense it for straight away. You could tell I wasn't going to be in the plans, and that's just a negative atmosphere to be about. And I'm happy, I'm training for myself just now, and I'm making sure I could go into Aberdeen and be miles off it and give a ball away every time and have people talking about me and be embarrassed about it, but I'm making sure that's not happening, and I've got a kind of a plan in my head to get as fit as I can and see what's happening. I know it's not the best situation to be in, but it's the best day a bad situation for me.
Hey, listen, it's sometimes though when you look at, what are you, 24?
Yeah.
24, free agent, you know, you could be sitting with some nice offers 5-6 weeks' time.
No, that's it, and even now we've had a couple of nice offers, some decent money offers and that, but I'm just not ready to go somewhere into the abyss, do you know what I mean? I'm not ready to give up just now. I had a good few years after I left Celtic and I had a bad year and a half recently, but that doesn't make you a bad player. Mm-hmm. I've had more good years and bad years, and I believe that.
Do you think your next move will be, because you've been abroad Do you think your next move you'll stay in the UK? Is that your preference?
Yeah, 95% sure. I think obviously it'd need to be amazing for me to go away, but I think just now it's not about the money, it's not about it, and it's about just getting back playing and getting back enjoying it. And I've been enjoying it up training up there.
Brilliant. Well, we wish you the best of luck, and thanks again for joining us on Open Goal. Thanks to Simon. Thanks to you for listening. I knew you would stay right to the end, and I know you're going to join us next week. Enjoy the rest of the week. Bye-bye.